Okay. All right. Yeah, Satan's the great pretender. He's the one that portrays himself as an angel of light, but he not going to work. We shine as bright lights in this world. All right, we're going to go this morning. This is Abundant Grace Fellowship's teaching, Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. This is part 11, Church Order. So I'd go ahead and do this portion first. The title of this is Spiritual Mapping. Spiritual Mapping. Lord brought this term up to me. I'm just going to read here what some of my thoughts here, and we're going to read our foundational scriptures and we'll get into it. So we've been looking for weeks now on church order, and especially the return of the apostle and prophets. This particular segment is about apostolic jurisdiction. Paul had his call to the Gentiles, Peter to the Jews. They operated in their jurisdictions. God assigned them particular areas to set in order. That is what apostles mainly do. They set in order. What do they set in order? Whatever the Lord shows them is out of order. Jesus ordained 12 apostles and got them ready for the church age. They were sent to particular areas to set things in order to restore God's order. Before we begin, I'm going to look at our foundational scriptures again.
The title of this is what?
Spiritual Mapping.
But it's part of the church order?
Yeah, it's part of your 12. Is it 12 or 11?
12.
Okay, then it's 12.
Okay.
I guess I've been wrong. No, I don't. Okay. All right, Matthew 7. Y'all there? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we see here, when we're doers of the word, our house does not get washed away. Personally, in the church, when we're in doing what the word says do, we're in order. To do the word of God is to be in order, divine order. Okay? All right, now, Matthew 16. When we don't do it in order, what happens? The rains come and the house falls down. No foundation. All right, apostles are the foundation, prophets. All right, 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So when the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, not Peter the Pope, the rock that was the revelation knowledge. Well, that's what got us in this mess, is Peter the Pope, not Peter personally, but the Pope, part of the swamp. It's not built on a man, it's built on the Word. Yeah, okay. All right, Ephesians 2. He discerned Jesus was the Christ, and that was the revelation it was talking about. On this rock, I'm the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. All right, Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Like it or not, this is God's order and this is God's way. Ephesians 4. 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now we can see why the church is like a nursery, because the pastors have been in charge. They're the shepherds. They're the ones that take the personal care over the sheep. And, you know, have to just watch themselves that they don't just do everything for them. And that's what it's turned into. Why? There's been no apostle and prophet over that operation to keep things running, keep things in order. That other has its place. It's also a gift to the church. But everything has to be done decently in order. Okay, now Psalms 133. I mean, who wouldn't want the right order? Because what I see in this is when you have the right order, everyone has accountability. Nobody gets off track. We wouldn't be dealing with churches. Right now, I listened to something yesterday that Madison, a whole list of people, even stuff we know, even in the Word of Faith, implicated in sexual things. You think, had there been the proper order, the first sign of something going awry, it would have been judged. It would have been taken care of, like the book of Acts shows it. That board of apostles, when their things came up that they had to deal with, they were dealt with. They didn't get left to fester and grow bigger and bigger till we had like the cesspool we have now, the swamp in the church now. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Where we're unified, that's where the blessing is. That's where the anointing can flow. And so the church, since we have passed from the church age and we are venturing into the kingdom age, where this proper order will be in place, the church is just going to have to adjust. They'll have to be taught. But that's why God is taking out the old guard and bringing in the new guard. This is the only way it can happen. And there will be some old guard that will conform and help, and I'm happy for that. But there will be others that they finish their course, they run their race, and they'll go on to their reward. Okay, the church is the city on the hill for all to see. It is an example of God's kingdom in the earth. You wonder why there is disorder and chaos everywhere? No morals, no ethics? Well, it's because the church has been out of divine order. We were the ones that were to bring order and keep it throughout the earth until the Lord comes, and we will give an account then of what we did or did not do. Regardless of whether it's been done or not, we can point fingers. But we're all going to give an account. Okay, Matthew 25. And especially the leaders are going to give account. I'm thankful the Lord pulled me out of this system to train me for the kingdom age, because I never fit there anyway. This is chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were, or 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." See, some were prepared, some weren't. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You know, all these, I looked up one of these that this lady implicated, the one that sold her to a trafficker and exploited her for 10 years. She was like a prisoner. I looked it up. He still has his mega church. Been there. He still has his mega church. He's been there since 1999. I'm going, God, how have they gotten by with it so long? For the kingdom of heaven is as of a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, or his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he had received 2. He also gained other 2. And he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." The Lord is not going to hear any excuses. There will be none. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Isn't that those that are advancing into the kingdom of God age, those that have been faithful, have done what the Lord told them to do? Then he came and received the 1 talent, came and said, "Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went, hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them, on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. You see this. This is a church. It is corporate. You understand that? They're talking to an individual here. Talk about the church and the church leaders is what I believe he's judging here. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. Let's put it in their pockets. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger. When a young woman come to them that had been brutalized and raped and tortured and was looking for help, they turned her over to the even worse torturers. And this woman forgives all of her offenders. She's a Christian. In fact, she was in a bad place, being held prisoner, fixing to be sold overseas, maybe never be seen or heard from again. And she heard Joel Osteen on television. And there in that jail cell, she's been brutally raped in a jail cell every night by officers. But Joel Osteen comes to the TV screen, even though, you know, you think, wow. And she got born again that night. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Okay, we are living in a day where the Lord is requiring divine order in His church. I want to do our part, the part the Lord has been showing us to get in order, you know, right now, and begin as the Holy Spirit directs us what He has in mind for this fellowship to do. I do believe that we're in the beginnings of it right now. As you know, this week I had to report for jury duty at the Pettit Court in Midland. I asked the Lord what purpose He would have in me doing so. The only thing He said to me was that I was to speak over this court. So I have some things that I believe that He would have us as a fellowship to speak over this court. This is to be one of our jurisdictions. Now, we've really been doing this since 2015 when we first made those petitions in the supplemental sheets. We were taking jurisdiction, but I believe in the days and months ahead that the Lord is going to begin to give us specific jurisdictions where we're more of a fine-tune to take out. Like I remember Danny had a word about viper's nest that the Lord would show you. I forget exactly the way it was worded, but it was like you will be able to see all the demonic entities and the spirits involved in this adder's nest, wherever it might be, so you could speak to those things and break that stronghold over that particular area. Because the people over that area, they act the way they do because of the controlling spirit over the area. Unless you're a strong Christian. You understand? Okay. I do believe that this is the biggest problem in the body of Christ. We have not occupied for the kingdom of God. So this is what we are endeavoring to do. Really, we have been doing this, like I said, since 2015. We just add as the Spirit instructs us. We must take back our church, country, and world for the kingdom of God. Just think about having a congregation of thousands of people all doing this. teaching churches to where you've got thousands taking authority over jurisdictional spirits and bringing them down. So the kingdom of God is not just going to appear on earth and everything just was wrong is going to be right. We're going to be walking in it. We're going to have to teach them God's ways. Their mindsets are not going to change overnight. If they're messed up now, they'll be messed up then. But at least they'll be in a place where they can hear. With the evil gone. Okay. All right, just think of having a congregation of thousands of people doing this instead of just a handful. Just think of the impact. Well, this is what the church has to be taught to do when things are kept in order. They don't get out of order. If you clean your house, sweep the floor, whatever, it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? As I have brought to your attention about demonic ley lines and networks, you know, when I talked about Laura Sanger, in her book, she talks about the spirits that she encountered when she went to Italy. All right, that Satan has his networks. Now you can understand that these about the territorial spirits. The scriptures show that there are different ranks of demonic spirits. Okay, this is Satan is like Ephesians 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you see all this unrest, all this rioting, all this disheaval in the earth. They are being influenced by the prince of the power of the air. Okay? To me, this is just warfare basics. We will be dealing with the demonic entities that are pulling the strings over this court. Okay, let's go look to Ephesians 6. This is the armor of God. We'll start there with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We can't do this with flesh. This is spiritual warfare. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You're not going to be able to do it in your flesh. He'll whip you. Just like the seven sons of Sceva. Run out of the house naked and bleeding. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Like I said, we're not fighting cabal. We're not fighting corrupt politicians and church leaders. These are spirits. When these spirits are taken out, then men can be free. For wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's four ranks of demon spirits. Powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness. Wait a minute, I missed one. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Four different ranks. They're like military. Yeah. Okay. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This is taking jurisdiction over these ranks of spirits. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on their breastplate of righteousness. There may even be a time, I didn't think about this yesterday, you know, Jesus talked to the man that had the legion, and the demons spoke back to him, well, we're legion. There may be times that when we're encountering this, there may be an entity that the Lord may lead us to or give us the name of this entity, you know. Be open. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, these spirits were keeping him from getting the message out. Everywhere he went, he encountered these jurisdictional spirits. Just like the little girl that had the spirit of divination. All right. The Lord said this, judges are the highest place of natural authority in their jurisdictions. Judges, federal judges, you know, district judges, Supreme Court judges. You'd say they were the highest in the land. Yeah. Now the subject of spiritual mapping. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. The Holy Spirit brought this term up to me. It is foreign to the church. Most of the church pray for us for and no more, and that is pretty well the extent of it. They're more about getting their needs met, not going beyond that, them and their family. But this is spiritual and it is biblical. But if you do not, if you don't have the new mindset, and this is what the Lord said to me, when you begin to look at things through the apostolic view instead of the pastoral view, it changes your perspective totally. The apostolic view is a territorial. It's taking back the kingdom, promoting the kingdom, not your own little sheep pen, the kingdom. Because you can see the church. That was something that Oral Roberts' vision, the Lord was upset about, because those that were sent to the mission field to bring in the lost were five. He could count five ministries on one hand that were even obeying the Lord in this. Okay. All right, Revelation 1 through 3. We're going to look at that. We've read this before, but this is Jesus talking to John about the territorial spirits in these Asian churches. He was the apostle to the seven churches of Asia. All right, we're going to start with chapter 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and simplified it, or signified it, by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now they're just focused on a rapture that's non-existent instead of where Jesus starts out, taking out demonic spirits. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches. Oh, God. I was just sitting here, and I just flashed in my mind. I was instructing John, and then I showed him what they were doing. The rest of Revelation is what the deep state is doing, what they've been doing, what's been unsealed. The alarms that have been sounding about what they've been doing and what's going to happen to them because of what they've done. There's the book of Revelation right there. This is a prophecy all through 6,000 years on the earth. Wow. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What is this about? Having dominion. Yeah. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Yeah. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand are the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So everything that he's here about to impart to John has to do with the church. Everything. It's just too bad the church totally disengaged, isn't it? All right. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, which he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake that labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. See, it looks like I had money first. The love of money is the root to all evil. And these mega pastors and different ones, you know, I thought they were compromised along the way. That's what money will do. But this thou hast... Oh, wait a minute. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Those are the ones that did Baal worship, Moloch worship, caused their children to pass through the fire. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, all that happened in the days of Noah, but that's not relevant for today. Well, yes, it is. I mean, after Jesus went back to the Father, we're talking the last 2,000 years. It was an issue then. If it was an issue the prior 4,000 years, it's an issue these last 2,000 years, right? And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now we know all about that. These are the Phoenicians, the Khazarian Mafia, the ones that have sabotaged the Jewish faith, the ones that have paraded as Jews and terrorized Christians that they can't say anything, you know, or they've been coming against Israel and God will blot them out of the book type of deal, which is all a big fat lie. They're not even the true ones. No one's against the true people of Israel, but we're against the swamp. Yeah. So he's talking about they have the synagogue of Satan in their church. For fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So the deep state was there too. What do you think Rome was? And to the, I mean, you could have said Egypt changed places. Rome. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. even where Satan's seat is. So they had some church, they had the demons in their church, working, operating, a network of demons in their church. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, that taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. This is the kid thing, y'all. We're back to children sacrifice, drinking blood, eating the flesh. So this is nothing new to churches. Why should we be so shocked? So hast thou also then that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. Now unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Here we go again with the kids. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. See, it's these that go into tribulation, not God's people. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not the doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. But be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Sounds like they just grew cold. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To the angel, the church of Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. All these big hot dog churches, some of them are good, some of them aren't. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down in my Father, with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this is how he starts off imparting the revelation of the history of the world. Jesus specifically laid out a spiritual map for John as the apostle of the seven churches of Asia. He told him where Satan's seat was in each place. Satan has mapped out the whole earth, all seven mountains of influence, and has his finger in every pie. For us to be effective in changing things, we must have a spiritual map to head out on this journey. Just like when you take a vacation, you get out your map or set your navigation system to get you to the desired location. So we've got a spirit navigational system here that God's going to show us the coordinates that we need to take out these particular spirits that he shows us in these locations. Paul, as an apostle, dealt with territorial spirits, or better known as strong men. Okay, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Acts 16. See, we are soldiers, and this is what soldiers do. We do warfare, and this is what the church is supposed to be doing, the whole church, not just a little handful, a little Gideon's army here. It's the beginning. Acts 16:6. Now, when they'd gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden to the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Thracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized, her and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Dana, when she and Zimri went to the Grand Canyon, she talked about, what was the city? She talked about one of the cities there. On every corner, there were fortune tellers and tarot card readers. And I mean, she said, it was the most wicked place I have ever been. Taken with those strongholds. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved and turned, said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her, and she came out the same hour. When her master saw it, the hope of their gains was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought it to the magistrates, saying, "These men are being Jews to exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So we know God delivered them. But you see here, there was a territorial spirit through this young woman. And they sold their wares for Diana, the goddess, or whatever, this city. So they went into this city. God led them into this city. I believe it was to start tearing down those strongholds over that city. Okay. Let's keep going here. This is evangelism. This is evangelism. If you don't take out that spirit, you're not going to get anybody born again. They're under that influence. Understand? All right. No wonder we have very little evangelism in the church. We haven't done our due diligence. You got to go in and clean them out if you want to free up a people to receive the Spirit of God. All right, Mark 3:27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first, what? Bind the strong man. And then he will spoil his house. How come Paul was able to cast the spirit out of her? Well, it said she grieved him for many days. He is in prayer about it. Yeah. These principalities and powers must be dealt with first. After people are released from these demonic influences, they will be in a position to hear the gospel. All right, I'm going to read you a little bit. I came across an article on spiritual mapping. I'm just going to read just a little bit of it. This is a website called Prayer Walking. Prayer Walking. This was written in 2010. Spiritual mapping is the process of finding out about your neighbors that you might pray specifically for them. It's discovering the spiritual climate of your area that you might have influence for Jesus. Spiritual mapping may be a new concept to you. Perhaps you've never heard of it. Yet, it's a powerful spiritual discipline that can help you pray and impact your area for the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you influence people if you don't know their spiritual condition? How can you make a difference in the spiritual climate of your area if you have no idea what's going on around you? Spiritual mapping is a tool to guide you in how to pray and respond to your neighbors for the glory of Jesus. The purpose of spiritual mapping is to find out about the spiritual climate of your area. It is seeking to discover how best to pray for and minister to your area for the glory of Jesus. It is looking at your community or city in a brand new way. It is looking at your community or your city through spiritual lenses that you might pray and bless your neighbors. All right, I've just got a few places highlighted here. I'm not going to read all of this. Spiritual mapping is observing what is going on around you that you might pray. It is paying attention to people's lives and the situation of your city or community that you might pray and exercise spiritual influence. There is more going on in neighborhoods, communities, and cities than a person can see with physical eyes. The Bible teaches that Satan and his demons are actively working around you. He has developed schemes against the people around you. He has devious plans for your city or community. Spiritual mapping looks beyond the physical realm. When you practice spiritual mapping, you take seriously the fact that there is an unseen war going on in your community or city. Do you believe that there is an unseen warfare going on around you? Do you believe that Satan has schemes against your neighbors and your area? Do you think that the actions of Satan and his demons affect your area? Absolutely. You can put a spiritual map together. This spiritual map will help you know how to pray and will enable you to exercise spiritual influence in your area. Here are some suggestions that this person, area churches and pastors, get acquainted with them and who they are. Or, know who they are so you can pray for them. Institutions and businesses, schools and colleges, places of wickedness, roadblocks to the gospel, prevalent sins in your area. We know the border mess with the human trafficking and the drug trafficking. We know that is such a cesspool on our borders. Okay. All right, that's just a little bit. He goes on and on. He's talking about really more personally, and we're talking a little bit bigger scope. But you see what? It's a plan to take out a controlling spirit in an area, period. Whether it's personal, whether it's family, your job, our businesses, and, you know, courts, like we're going to look at. Okay. All right. I made up a petition for the court, and we're going to say this together, and y'all can keep this because this is going to be added to your supplemental list.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to read it here. In the name of Jesus, we bind the stronghold of the U.S. District Court of Western District of Texas, 200 East Wall, Room 222, Midland, Texas, 79701. You will bow and give up your hold, and we take it now in Jesus' name. We demand that the pyramid and all seen eye be removed from the outside of the courthouse building, along with any other New World Order satanic symbols inside the court chambers. The yellow fringe has been removed from the United States for America flag and the proper spire placed. We capture this courthouse for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. We claim Judge David Counts, Judge Robert A. Janelle, Robert C. Griffin for the kingdom of God. We pray that God will remove them if they do not comply and replace them with those who will. We break the spirit of Antichrist off of this court. No longer is this court under maritime admiralty law. All judges, lawyers, and court employees are retrained in constitutional law. The U.S. District Court, Western District of Texas, is now a constitutional court under the newly restored Republic for the United States for America. Proper peacetime flag will be placed in the courtroom. Satan has lost. The war is won. So let it be written. So let it be done in Jesus' name. So this we will add this to the things that we're already speaking.